Well, somebody said praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, somebody lift your hands and let's give God thanks this morning. Come on, lift your voice this morning. It's all right. We're in the house of God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice with me. I need the help of God this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, you're so good to us, so very good to us. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for those kind words. And Brother Wirth and Sister Wirth are committed to making this work as well. And I feel very good and very hopeful. And everything is going just really well. And I'm thankful for that. And you may look around and see these are leaving and those are leaving. But God knows what He's doing. We had a man of God come here just not too long ago, and he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, the church is doing good. We got to remember these things. Amen. And I don't have a negative bone in me here this morning. I'm very thankful for what God has done and what God is going to do. Praise the Lord. And I pray that God will help me this morning with the Word of God. Let's go to James chapter 5 and verse 7. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Got some good ameners here this morning. Praise God. Good to have an amen corner. Only let's just make this whole place a corner here this morning. Praise God. James 5 and verse 7. It's good to have Brother Cowan back. Amen. I could tell the difference Wednesday night. He wasn't here. Praise God. There's something about it when the pastor's not here. You can tell. There's an anointing there. And I appreciate what Brother Reed had to say and what he preached Wednesday night. And I was blessed by that. But it's good to have Brother Cowan back. Pastor Cowan. James 5 and verse 7. Be patient. Everybody said be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That means all the way to the very end. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Praise God. Just want to talk to us here this morning. If you want to put a title on this, Brother Greg, just call it, Be Patient. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, Be Patient. Be patient. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I just want to talk to us. And I'm not going to preach here this morning. I don't have the strength to do that today. But I'm going to just talk to us here this morning. Yes. And we're going to go through some of the scriptures and the Word of God today. If you look at the chapter here that we're going to be dealing with, in the book of James, James, of course, being the first pastor of the New Testament church, pastor of Jerusalem, probably some 40 or 50,000 people. If you look at the chapter here, chapter 5, it is the chapter of patience. And patience, our patience in the will of God, and our patience towards evil and wrong. And I want to deal with this because I think it will help us here this morning and help us to see what is really going on in our world, going on in our personal lives and so forth. So in order to look at a scripture, you need to get it in the context. Yes.
Right.
So go with me to James chapter 5 and verse 1, and we're going to read verse 1 through 6. He says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and rust, the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And ye shall eat the flesh, you shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped a treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept by fraud, crieth, and the cry of them which hath reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure, and you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, and ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. You know, there are times when we look at things that are going on in this world. There's much injustice, and there is much trouble. We see it, we read about it every day, and it causes wars and rumors of wars. We could come here this morning and we could be wringing our hands and saying, oh, things are so bad, we can't have revival. Yeah. Things are so bad, I can't live for God. I want to try to help us here this morning to understand we need to be patient. We need to be patient. There's much thievery in this world. There is much trouble in high places and so forth. And it's been this way from the very beginning. Hundreds and thousands of wars have been and are being fought in our world. Rumors of wars and all of this is around us today. And it's because man does not have patience. He wants what he wants, and he wants it right now. I want revival right now. I want God to move right now. But sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. I'm not trying to be negative here this morning at all. I want to be very positive about this. Amen. We cannot lose patience. Praise God. Years ago when there was a war about to take place, the theme or the statement that was made was, the time for strategic patience is over. Well, listen, we can't have strategic patience and just have patience at this point in time and not patience over here. We've got to have patience all the way to the very end. Amen. Unto the coming of the Lord. And we're going to look at a few things here this morning, but he says that, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. So we see that God is a God of patience. God waits, and he's very patient to fulfill his word and his will in this world until he receive the early and the latter rain. And so there's precious fruit of the earth that he's waiting for. And he's looking, he's waiting patiently here at New Life Tabernacle. Right. He's waiting patiently in your life. He's waiting patiently on this whole world, the church and the people of this world. He is looking for precious fruit. Amen. And the early rain started at Pentecost, and there was some fruit that was gleaned from the tree at Pentecost. It all started right there. And if we're to look at this from a time period, we would see that it was about 4,000 years from creation unto Pentecost.
All right.
That's patience. That's patience. But with God, that's just a snap of the finger. But for us, that's a long, long time.
Yeah.
And so what I want to do this morning is try to put things into perspective that the patience of God is upon this world. And he talks about the rich. We just read about that. And he does not strike them down. He does not eliminate them. He does not make this into a perfect world. But what he does is he does not resist them. And in fact, there's a scripture that says that the long-suffering of God leads us to repentance. And so when we're not right with God, God pours out His blessings upon us. I know God's a God of judgment, and I've seen that happen a number of times. But the times that I have not been right with God, God blessed me, God protected me, God kept me until I could give my life to Him. Anybody experience that?
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord. It's because He's a patient God. Amen. He's very, very patient. And so He's patient for the precious fruit of the earth. And the word precious there means valuable and costly. We could look at another scripture. I don't have it written down here this morning, but it just came to me, the scripture that talks about the man that was walking through the field and he found a treasure in the field. I preached for many, many years that the man walking through the field was you and I, and we found the treasure of eternal life in the field. But I've got a feeling that there's more to it than that. I think the man that was walking through the field was the Lord. And the field is the world. And the treasure that he found in the field is you and I.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Well, praise God.
Think about it.
He walked through that field looking and wondering if he could find a treasure in the field.
Yeah.
The reason the treasure was in that field and it had not been found is because that field did not look very pretty. Amen. It was strewn with rocks and boulders and all kinds of debris and everything. But the God of heaven, thank God, amen, He found us in the field of this world. And what did He do? He paid the ultimate price to purchase the field. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He purchased it. He purchased the church.
Yes, yes.
Amen. He gave us the salvation that we have this morning. And it's very, very expensive. These things are very expensive. Precious fruit. I begin to look online, and I'm not going to preach from the internet, so don't anybody worry about that. But I got to looking, and there are some precious fruits. I didn't realize this. And I brought this out before one other time many years ago. But there is a Densuke stripeless watermelon. And it has a special type of sweetness. It's only in that particular melon. Grown exclusively on Japan's northernmost island, Hokkaido. We'll just say that's what it means. That's how you say it. And only 100 of these stripeless watermelons are farmed each year. And the most expensive one ever sold was a whopping 17 pounds. And that one watermelon went for $6,100 at an auction in 2008. Well, you got to get that much for it if you're only going to produce 100 of them each year. And so there are people that have the resources that say, I want to have one of those for dinner. I'm going to pay $6,100 for that so that I can enjoy something that is precious, something that is a one of a kind. Did you know that the Lord really enjoys coming to the house of God? When we gather together, the Bible says He's here. I think the reason He's here is because He loves to be around His people. Praise God, He loves you this morning. He cares about your life. He cares about what's going on in our world. And what we cannot do is focus on other things. We've got to focus on Him and His will. And there's another one here, $21 per apple. $21, translating to the best in the world. And then it's another kind of an apple. I can't pronounce it. Sakachi or something like that. They're washed with honey, and they are branded by hand to ensure that they are blemish-free. The orchards where they are grown are pollinated by hand using a tiny wand. And so they would go out by hand and they would pollinate these apple trees. Very costly as far as time is concerned, but it was considered precious fruit. Amen. And this price above is actually the deal of a lifetime, because seen as a pair of Yabari king melons, a pair of them, so that would be two of them, buy one, get one free, I guess, once went for $23,500, making them the most expensive fruits in the world. Amen. Another product of the of that particular item is the hybrid orange flesh melon, highly prized for its sweetness and, as Gourmet writes, beautiful proportions. There are so many, many different ones. The world's most expensive grapes were sold at auction in 2011 in Kanazawa, Japan. I guess Japan is really famous for this. Each grape was about the size of a ping pong ball, and since there were 25 in the bunch, it cost $255 for one bunch of grapes. Praise God. Are you willing to pay that kind of price for grapes? My wife gets them at 99 cents a pound, and that's good enough for me. Praise God. I don't make enough to get $255 for one bunch of grapes. And in order to be sold for that price, they had to have a sugar content of around 18%. Amen. They measured it that way. And I could go on and on and on, but the Lord is looking for precious fruit. God is looking for precious fruit, church. Saint of God, this morning, don't ever get your head down to the point where you say, I'm going to give up. Don't ever give up. It's not worth it. Amen. There is a buyer at the auction, and he's willing to pay the ultimate price so that he could have you. Well, praise God. And this is the kind of fruit that comes from careful cultivating and care. And on the other hand, weeds are free. Amen. Well, I guess you could say it a different way. They're not really free. They're going to cost you something. And you're not going to get anything out of it. Praise God. And so the weeds are going to be cast into the fire, and they're going to be burned. But the precious fruit of the earth is what the Lord is looking for. Do you want to be precious fruit this morning? Do you really want to be a precious fruit where the Lord comes with his little wand and he pollinates things in your life so that you can begin to produce fruit in your life? The fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit that God has for you. Amen. I believe this morning God is a God that wants to bless his people. He wants to bless his church. He wants to do good things for us. Praise God. He wants to let his face to shine upon us and his smile to be upon us. Praise God. But precious fruit is not something that happens overnight. It's not something that happens in a day or two or a week or two. But it takes time. It takes through the seasons and very careful work. Amen. And the yielding of the particular whatever it is into the hand of the master. Amen. Praise God. In the midst of the earth where there is so much land, there's only a few places where it will grow a fruit harvest that will be valuable. It's not everywhere. You know, we've read that scripture where the sower went forth to sow. And he sowed on rocky soil, he sowed on wayside ground, he sowed on stony ground, thorny ground, and then there's good ground. You know, you could look at that and say, well, there's only one out of four that I'm going to win, and You know, we've had success here in Augusta, but I'll tell you, there's probably three times what we see here this morning that have come, and then they have fallen away. That's not something to be discouraged about.
Sure. Right.
Amen. We don't want weeds sitting on the pews.
Yeah.
Right. Well, praise God. There's some that are, you know, they've got the lights on the platform and the smoke off the altar. And don't get me off onto this, all right?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you this morning, all it's going to produce is weeds.
Sure.
It's not going to produce precious fruit. What we're interested in is precious fruit.
Yes.
Let's fill the church up with precious fruit. Praise God. I'm not going to stand here this morning and say it's our four and no more, that we're the despised few. My pastor wouldn't let us sing that song, the Lord's despised few. He said we're the Lord's chosen few. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the salvation that he's given to me. Jesus spoke of this, and this is all familiar to us, but maybe it'll just be a reminder. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17, he said this, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit." Everybody said good fruit.
Good fruit.
But in order to have good fruit, you've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. That, of course, would be bitter, something that you couldn't eat. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Amen. I want to have good fruit in my life.
Amen.
I hope you want to have good fruit in your life.
Yes.
Amen. A tree or a plant that produces good fruit, it does so because of inner quality. It's not how much you shout when you come to the house of God. It's not how you dress or all of those kinds of things. And you know how we feel about that here. And how the Lord feels about it in the Word. And we're going to preach the Word. But it's easy to get confused sometimes into thinking that just because you dress a certain way that you're right with God. Or that you are where you need to be with the Lord. Amen. This is a natural thing. This is not something that we can force it. You don't see a tomato plant out there, you know, squinting and all this trying to produce fruit, it just grows and it just produces fruit.
Yeah.
Because it's one with the soil and it gets the nutrition from the soil. And it just does what God made it to do. I believe that's the way it is with our walk with God.
Yeah.
Amen. We just need to do what God called us to do.
Yeah.
It naturally happens. Amen. Nobody has to tell me it's time to go to church. I want to go to church.
Praise God.
Nobody tells me I have to live a holy life. I want to live a holy life. Nobody tells me I have to pray. I want to pray. Amen. It's in my heart. There's a stirring on the inside that says I need to talk to God. And when you do that and you follow the will of God, it's going to produce fruit. Amen. There's going to be producing of the same kind. Amen. A corrupt tree can only bring forth evil fruit. And that evil fruit, of course, is bitter. It's rotten. It's corrupted. It does not have any value to it whatsoever. Amen. I think that somebody might be able to find a good use for these hedge apple trees. I've been telling my wife about that. Somebody needs to find out what the quality of the fruit of that tree is. God made that tree.
All right.
And we've got those green apples all over the ground. And this year, there's a bunch of them. Somebody could make $1 million if they could figure out a use for those things. Amen. It takes patience. That's right. Patience. Be patient. Amen. There is fruit that God wants on your tree, on your life. And it's the inner quality. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Now, I'm just talking to us here this morning. Isaiah 66 and 2, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and I think that would be poor in spirit, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Amen. Poor. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. And what does that mean? That means that my inner quality, the quality of me on the inside and of you on the inside, says everything I have has come from God. I'm a poor man without God. I am what I am because of the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. Amen. You're blessed here today because of what God has given you. I believe it's in Corinthians, one of the books of Corinthians. And he says, what do you have that has not been given to you? Well, that flies in the face of pride this morning. Pride will produce bitter fruit. Amen. That flies in the face of pride. You say, well, I've saved up my money. It's not your money. God gave it to you. Say, no, I worked on a job and I made that money. Well, why? Well, how did you get the job? God gave you the job. God gave you the mental capacity to do your job. God gave you the physical strength to do your job. Well, praise the Lord. Your intelligence was given to you at school. You didn't have to pay for it. Well, praise God. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. And so in reality, we're just poor. We're poor in spirit, depressed in mind or in circumstances. That's what that word means. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Do we have the ability to do that? We do if we're a good tree. If we're going to be the precious fruit that the Lord is looking for, then what we have to do is esteem others better than ourselves. Amen. Well, praise God. And the word contrite, it means to be smitten or maimed or dejected or lame. That's what that means. Amen. And he said, I will look to this man who is of a contrite spirit. You know, we really don't have a lot to be proud of. Praise God. I was counseling many years ago here at the church with someone, and they're not here this morning, so don't worry about that. And this person was eaten up with pride. And I had to deal with this, and I had to deal with that, and I had to deal with the other. And finally, we ended up in the office, and we were talking about it, and I said, you know what? Your problem is you've got so much pride in you. And I kind of smacked him a little bit verbally, and I said, for the life of me, I don't know what you've got to be proud about. And he's a big guy. He could have torn me up and spit me out. Amen. But it just shocked him. You know, pride is, excuse me, pride is like a balloon. You blow it up and it looks real big, but all it takes is a little pinprick, and it explodes. Amen. I look at pride and I say, pride's like a cat. Anybody like cats? God bless you. Cats are cool but they've got an attitude problem. Just look at any of the Garfield cartoons. Amen. I don't know if you preach against cartoons. Garfield cartoons. He's got an attitude. And you know what? If you come against a cat and they feel threatened, their tail will get real big. The fur on their tail, it'll get two or three times its size. They'll turn sideways and they hump their back up. And they stick their tail up like that. That's pride. Amen. All right. A lot of people do the cat. Amen. They want to look bigger than what they really are, but they're just a cat. Amen. And if they're not careful crossing the road, they're going to be a flat cat. Praise God. I've seen a few of those. You have too. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. We're just talking about being faithful to God this morning. Amen. Being patient. Turn to your neighbor again and tell him, be patient. Be patient. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. He that is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word, that means fearful, also reverential, afraid, or trembling. Amen. It's someone that trembles at the word. Oh, well, that's just another message. It's not just another message. It's God speaking to us through the Word of God. I remember a young lady that we prayed through in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and Jeff and Cheryl. And Cheryl came to God. It took them a while to get the Holy Ghost, but they were patient, and God blessed them. We had a young man come into the church one service, walked up to the altar, prayed through to the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues. And Jeff and Cheryl, we were in Bible study with them. And I came to the Bible study, and they said, we've got a question for you. And I knew exactly what it was. They said, we've been faithful to church, we've been doing Bible study, but we haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. And somebody walks in, comes to the altar, gets the Holy Ghost. We don't get it. We don't understand why this is going to work out like this. I said, well, I hope I'm not speaking out of faith, but that man that walked up to the altar and prayed through will probably never be back. But you're going to stick because you're fighting through the fight of faith, and God's going to bless you with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And lo and behold, that man never did come back. But Jeff and Cheryl prayed through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and started living for God. Thank God. You know what? You just got to be patient. Be patient. Stick with the program. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to the Word of God. And Cheryl got on the cleaning list and came to clean the church. And, oh, God, give us the heart of a new convert. You know where the miracles, I feel like the Lord showed me this yesterday. You know where the miracles are going to happen in the church? They're not going to happen with us old, dead, old saints. It's going to be the brand new ones that come in.
Yes. Yes.
And they've got faith, and they're going to inspire us to have faith. That's where revival is at. That's where miracles are going to take place. And I got to thinking about it, Brother Cowan, Pastor Cowan, that we hear a lot of folks saying, we don't have miracles in our church. We pray and nothing happens. Well, I think what we need to ask is, how many new ones do you have coming? Well, praise God. I'm not being condemning here this morning, but I want you to know if we have some new ones coming. Praise God. Brother Mike, he started coming, and Rusty Sora came. We had him coming to preach for us, and we announced that an evangelist was going to be here, and he said, oh, I've got to be here for that service. He said, I've never seen an evangelist before. So excited about seeing an evangelist. Praise God, but all the rest of us are like, well, it's just another one. Just another one in the line. No, it's not. Praise God. This word is a live word. This word is powerful. Well, Cheryl, she got on the clean list. You thought I'd forgotten about that. She got on, old Brother Westbrook said, old preachers don't die, they just lose their text and wander. Well, I haven't lost my text this morning. Be patient. Just be patient. We'll get finished here this morning. Praise God. She got on the cleaning list. Nobody's in the church. Nobody's there. And she's vacuuming and all that. She comes up to the platform. She's going to dust the pulpit. And she stepped behind the pulpit where the word of God had come to her. And she blushed. She was embarrassed that she was standing where the word of God was coming to her. Oh, God, help us this morning. We've got to be good trees. We've got to go back, amen, to the place where we first came to God. Amen. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Charlie and Stacy, he's the same as it was 25 years ago. 27 or whatever it was. Amen. Praise God. Let's see where I'm at. I'm not wandering. How can we bear precious fruit when there's so many bad things going on around us? I think it's the devil's work in this hour to say nobody wants to hear. There's too much trouble going on. We can't have revival. Well, I want to just smash that this morning because I don't believe that. And the word of God does not bear that out. How can we bear fruit when people are taking advantage of us? How can we flourish and naturally produce good fruit? Amen. Well, we've just got to be rooted and grounded. Our feet have got to be down in the soil of God's word. And you can be in the midst of a drought. Amen. But if you're planted by the rivers of living water, you're always going to produce fruit. Yes. It's amazing to me. Amen. Fruit is known for being bitter or sweet. I don't enjoy eating bitter fruit. I just set it aside and eventually throw it in the trash can. What do we do when trials come along? What do we do when the stock market goes down? Do we sell all of our stocks when everything goes down? No, we just hang on for a little while. We're patient and it starts to come back up again. What do we do when troubles come in our life? Amen. What comes out of our mouth? What is it that we do in our life? Where is our walk with God, our prayer life? Well, I'm telling you this morning, if you'll just be patient, because the Lord is looking for precious fruit of the earth. He's looking for somebody that'll just be patient and go through this particular season of life. And it may be a long time. It may be many, many years before you see the answer to your prayer or you see God move the way you have been praying for him to move. Amen. Genesis 50 and verse 20, one of my favorite scriptures. This is speaking of Joseph. He says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is to this day, to save much people alive." Amen. Are we willing to just be patient? Are we willing to just sit there in the jailhouse, as it were, for a few years, being, you know, judged wrongfully, people talking about you, living with the rats and the cockroaches? Where's God? Where's the move of God? I'll tell you where the move of God ought to be. It ought to be right inside of you. Well, praise God. Pastor Cowan's not going to get me to heaven by himself.
Right.
Mama's not going to get me to heaven by her brother or sister, husband or wife. You get what I'm saying here this morning. You've got to have a personal relationship with God on the inside. Amen. Because there are those that mean it for evil. There are those that actually are bad people, and they will try to tear you down. They'll do it on the job. They'll do it. It's everywhere. Amen. It's in nations. That's why we've got trouble in our world today. Amen. And so we ask the question, I have asked the question, why do bad things happen in God's economy? Amen. Why do bad things happen to good people? And we've heard that before. I'll tell you why. Because he's looking for precious fruit. Praise God. He's looking for precious fruit. He's looking for fruit that will blossom. I think it's Isaiah said that the desert shall blossom like a rose. Amen. Just look at the nation of Israel where they are at right now. It's a desert area. There's no water. It's just barren. And here they are, just a little bitty group of people, 9 million people in that country. And they are a superpower of the region. Nobody wants to mess with them because of the blessings of God. Well, praise God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. We're just going to go ahead and be blessed. Doesn't matter if we've got, you know, this group that wants to destroy us and that group that wants to destroy us. And they have surrounded us and they're plotting every day. But I think Scripture says the Lord laughs at their plottings.
Right.
Amen. Because you can't stop a good tree from producing good fruit.
Right.
We're just going to stay right here and be blessed.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God. Yes. Just going to stay right here and be blessed. Yes. Not going to do anything. I'm not going to get bitter in my spirit about this, that, or the other. Oh, no, I'm just going to be blessed. I'm just going to get a revival going on inside of me.
Amen.
Revelation 14 and 15. I hope somebody's receiving something this morning.
Yes, yes, yes.
Revelation 14 and 15. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice, to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. Amen. Scripture says that he has long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. I look at that and I say, you know, here's a generation and all this trouble in this generation, but right in the middle of it, there's a big old grape the size of a ping pong ball. I got that one. Over here, there's an apple on a tree. I'll pay $21 for that apple.
All right.
Just going to pull that one off. Amen. There's a watermelon over here, $6,100. Yeah, I'll just buy that one up, take it home. And then another generation comes, and another generation comes, until he has reaped all of the precious fruit of the earth. Folks, we've got to be faithful to God in everything.
Yes.
For the time is short.
Yes.
I said the time is short.
Yes.
Stay planted. Amen. Memorize Psalms chapter 1.
Yeah.
Just memorize it. It's only one chapter. Amen. Verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hopefully I'm getting it right. His law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It's not going to happen in a week. It's not going to happen in a month. Brother Joshua, it's not going to happen in a year or two. It takes a good 10 years to get established. Amen. Newly married couples, they're in love. But I'll tell you what, it takes about 10 years to get to know each other. How does that work? Well, you go through hard times and then you see what they really are.
Sure, sure.
Amen. You go through another situation, financial situation. And after a while, you can read their mind. And they can read your mind. And it's scary. And not only can they read your mind, amen, but they'll say the same thing that you're going to say. They'll say what you were thinking. How does that all work? It works through the seasons of life. Amen. And if you're a wise man this morning, all the men said amen. If you're a wise man this morning, remember it's all in the timing. Praise God. Got some amens from the older married couples. You learn through tribulations and trials what is the right timing. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. Getting tight in here. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What kind of tree was that was planted by the rivers of water? Was it like one of these oak trees in the northern part of Augusta here? Those big old stately oak trees that are about that big around. Does the Lord just plant that by the rivers of living water? No, he doesn't. If you come to my house, I've got an oak tree, and it's about this big around now, and it's probably 25 or 30 feet high. When I planted it, it was about that big around. It was about an inch in diameter, and it was only about four feet tall or whatever. That's how it works with God. You plant the seed. The seed is a little thing compared to the end result. And when you gave your life to God, you planted a seed in your spiritual garden. Praise God. Some things don't produce any fruit for a while. Pear trees take about 7 years. Some of the fruit that we read about this morning takes 6 to 7 years before it'll produce any fruit. Why did God make it that when you have children, it takes so long for them to grow up? Praise God. Some of us are still not grown up. I didn't have a brain until I was 30 years old. Well, praise God. Still trying to figure things out. Why did God make it that way? So that we could be tested, so that what we gain in life is solid. It's not something that's fleeting and it's here today and gone tomorrow, but that it's solid. And so it takes time, and time gives us experience, and experience gives us wisdom. Amen. And wisdom turns into knowledge. Well, praise God. Same thing in the kingdom of God. You can come to God and pray through and be born again when you're 70 years old. But that doesn't mean that you're 70 years old spiritually. Praise God. It doesn't mean that at all. You've still got to go through the process. Amen. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Which way do you want to go in life? Do you want to end up with a fruit basket of bitter fruit, or a fruit basket full of good, precious fruit that you can give to God? I want precious fruit.
Amen, amen, amen.
Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Oh, we haven't changed this clock. It says it's 12:15. Lord, help us. I was wondering if I was going to make it through it all this morning. Here we are, 12:15 already. Somebody smile just a little bit. We can have a good time in the house of God. Amen. It's the Word of God. It's not how it's delivered most of the time. Praise the Lord. Brother Johnny Godare said he's always gotten something out of every message that he's ever heard. And he said he's had a few close calls. Praise God. Always got something out of every message he's ever heard. Revelation 3, 1 through 5. And I think it's interesting. I got this down here. And Pastor Cowan talked about the churches, the seven churches. Brother Reed made mention of that Wednesday night. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. There's your ministry right there. I know thy works, that thou hast a name and thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. This is not really a commendation of this church. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. A stinging rebuke. How would we feel about our church? How would you feel about your church if the Lord came and said, I don't like the works that you're doing?
Yeah.
A lot of folks would just bail out. A lot of folks would give up. These things are too hard for us. Just like when Jesus made that statement, and the Bible says that many of his disciples went and walked with him no more. They didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. Here we are in Sardis. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour which I will come upon thee. The Lord's saying, I'm getting ready to take your candle out of its place. You're going to be a gathering group of people, but you're not going to be in my kingdom. How would we feel about our walk with God? But look at this. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. How do you do that? How do you maintain a walk with God when there are things going on in the church? And I don't know anything going on in our church. We've got a great church. We've got a great pastor. Amen. We've got great things going on. We really do. Somebody ought to say amen. But I'm telling you what, he said, there are some here that have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, there's your patience right there. The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Isn't that what we're looking for? Be patient. Be patient. Whatever's taking place in your personal walk with God, just be patient. Maintain your prayer life. Maintain the Word of God in your heart and in your everyday life. Draw close to God. Develop a relationship with the Lord. When bad things happen, don't get bitter. And I don't know of any bad things that are happening, but don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. Stay sweet.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Become a team player.
Yeah.
Don't be off by yourself being a spiritual person all by yourself. Folks, we need one another.
Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
Amen. And I'm so thankful this morning for the church. I'm thankful that the Lord called us here and we have a church where we can worship God. Beautiful place where we can come and worship God.
Yes. Yes.
We don't have to worry about inviting sinners to the house of God.
Right.
They're going to be treated with kindness. How many folks have come through the doors of our church and said, when we came through and we were in a service, they said, we felt like we came home. Many folks have said that.
Yes.
Amen. That's because we've got some precious fruit here. Can we stand together this morning? We've got some precious fruit here. I look out this morning. I know there's not as many as we're used to having, but that doesn't bother me.
No.
That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother Pastor.
No.
We want to fill our church up. Yes, we do. And we're working towards that goal. We've handed out some church cards this week.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, it's more than just all of that. It's what's inside right here. I've seen over the years churches that had really bad problems. I'm thinking of a church on the East Coast right now, and they've had a number of pastors that came through that probably shouldn't have been pastoring. I don't want to put down the ministry, but that's just the way it was. Trouble after trouble after trouble. But there's one saint of God in that church. Sister, I forget her name now. If you needed somebody to pray for you, that's the one you wanted to ask. Because she was always worshiping. She would shout, run the aisles, praise God, thank God for all the blessings in her life, all around the trouble. Just going to be blessed. I'm just going to be blessed. Amen. You go to Colorado Springs, there's a lady there, Sister Webb. Sister Webb. God bless Sister Webb. Praying lady.
Yes, amen.
Pastor Cowan's talked about her. I've talked about her on a number of occasions. Do we have some folks here this morning that are going to be like that? Or are you just coming to church because you know you need to come to church? I'll tell you what, there's going to be a drought coming. There's going to be hot days coming. But if you're planted by the rivers of living water, you're going to produce fruit. You're just going to be blessed. Good people, you can't put down a good man. You can't put down a good woman. They just get back up and they're blessed. Just blessed. They're not going to preach at you. They're not going to tell you you need to do this, that, or the other. They're just blessed. They just come to the house of God with a smile on their face. They're faithful. When they can't come to the house of God, they get a hold of the pastor. Tell him why they're not going to be there. Well, praise God. Say, well, I don't think I need to have to do that. Well, you do on your job.
Come on, that's good.
And I'll tell you what. Some folks are more submissive to an ungodly supervisor than they are to a godly pastor. Well, praise the Lord. You ever been on a job and the supervisor said, I want you to do this, and you don't want to do that? You know what you do? You just go ahead and do it because you want that paycheck at the end of the week. I want the paycheck at the end of my week. I'm coming to the close of my week. Amen. And I want that paycheck more than anything else. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the only way I can do that is I've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. Come on, let's love the Lord right now. Somebody lift your hands with me. Let's pray right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God, work your work in these people. Work your work in each family that's here this morning. Oh God, you see the world that we're living in and the troubles that surround us. And the things that are coming against us. Oh God, let your face to shine upon us. We're just wanting to be blessed. We just want to produce fruit. In the midst of a world of famine, we want to be blessed. Make us the head and not the tail. Bless us, oh God. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Fill us with your goodness. Fill us with your grace. Cover us, God, with your grace, that we may produce fruit, and help us to be patient. Help us to be patient. Amen. If it's appropriate and someone's near to you, put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them this morning. Find another man and pray for him this morning. We've got to help one another and pray for one another, to lift one another up before the Lord. In Jesus' name this morning, in Jesus' name this morning, help us, Lord. Thank you for your presence. You came here because you wanted to come. You came here this morning, Lord, because you love to be in the presence of your people. Oh, God, we love to be in your presence. Sup with us, oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. We're in the midst of a period of transition. New Life Tabernacle, we're in a time of transition. But transitions are not bad. You've got to go from summer to winter to fall to spring. You've got to go through the seasons of life. Let's be patient. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Let's be patient. Amen. Wait for the coming of the Lord. That's what it's really all about.
Yes, it is.
It's not about, you know, a position in the church. It's not about a name tag on my suit, whatever. No, I'm just waiting for the coming of the Lord. Because he's coming. And he's coming soon. He's coming very, very soon. And it doesn't matter to me where I'm at. Doesn't matter what's going on. When that day of rapture takes place, I'll just be waving goodbye, world, goodbye. I've told all my troubles goodbye. Goodbye to each tear and each sigh. This world that I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for a home in the sky. Praise God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. God bless you, Brother Cowan, Pastor Cowan. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. I hope it's blessed somebody.